talking about?
Thing has been tased by the horseman, but here comes RoboCop Bob.
And the Yeti!
Pinata! Pinata! Pinata!
Mick Foley is going to win their world title. Oh, he's going to put some butts in the seat.
What's the matter, Sid? Can't find your scissors?
That's why this company's in the damn shape it's in, because of bullshit like this.
And Hogan, you big bald son of a bitch, kiss my ass!
Shorty.
Oh, well, serious brain freeze. That icy sugar locked up my nog nog.
About this. Yeah, I mean, yes, I'm glad you're going to Birmingham. I'm glad you can see my parents, but...
Baby.
No, I think this is dangerous.
Listen, there's nothing to worry about. I'm the WCW champion, baby. I'm telling you, Eric Bischoff, Jeff Jarrett, I need to teach them a lesson, but you got nothing to worry about, because Chris Canyon's going to be there, Diamond Dallas Page, they're going to watch my back, you see?
How do you know they're going to watch your...
What's up, Kurt?
Hey, Courtney, we got to do our nude love scene right now. How you doing, Dave?
Yeah,
Kurt,
yeah.
Did you know that David was the WCW world champion?
World heavyweight champ, baby.
Yeah, right. What's so funny?
David, you're not a wrestler!
Hello! Hello and welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling video podcast. Filmed in glorious grapple vision and encoded with blast processing, we chronologically critique wrestling storylines pay-per-view by pay-per-view. This is your host, Jay Hunter, joined once again by the lovely lads, both named Steve. It's...
All right.
And...
All right. I did my own intro, that was awesome.
Sud your bums and don your bumping pants. It's the final slice of sugary shit cake known as the David Arquette Trilogy. It's WCW Slamboree 2000, and it's coming up right now.
The master plan works! And Kimberly, she's new blood! She's new blood! She's stabbing in the back to join Bishop, Jarrett, and the new blood.
I am the chosen one.
I've made you pay, and I can break you.
Whatever.
David Arquette! You get in the ring with me! I'm gonna 1-800-KICK-YOUR-BUTT! I'm gonna put you in the line with the Diamond Cutter! The three-time
champion,
positively
Diamond
Page!
Now, Paige, you got something that belongs to me. I'm not leaving until it's back around my way. There's no better way than to get it started. It would have been me and Bischoff against you and Mr. Cox in a tag match. And the WCW World title is going to be on the line.
The one man against the pinfall will be the winner. Kimberly's going to be the referee for this thing. She's not going to count. Kimberly gets kissed by DDP.
Spear by Arquette. Oh, Jarrett's got the belt.
Kimberly went down in a heap. The referee's over towards Arquette. David Arquette won the world title.
I just wish this belt fit a little better.
You're not a wrestler.
I don't deserve to be the world heavyweight champion.
No kidding.
I'm going to relinquish the belt. I'm going to put it up for grabs to DDP and Jeff Jarrett in the three-cage match at Slamboree, baby.
Who died made your commissioner, Slappy? You want the prize? All you have to do is climb to the top and grab it.
Your skinny little rear end is going to be in a ring. It's a triple dance. Bada bing, bada good night.
Greetings once again, Noggers. Happy days are here again.
Here pays.
Ah, great to be back, eh?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's great. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That's it then.
Yeah.
May 7, 2000, from the Kemper Arena in Kansas City, Missouri. It's Western Union Slamboree. Commentary tonight is from Tony Schiavone, Scott Hudson, and Mark Madden, who is basically a much sleazier Jerry Lawler. Our inaugural contest of the night is Hard Knocks Chris Candido versus the artist Prince Ikea.
Ikea, I think.
Ikea.
Ikea is something very different.
Prince Aldi.
Much like how their valets, Tammy Sitch and...
Parsley
wrestled at Thunder, they will wrestle for Candido's Cruiserweight Championship. Oddly, both wrestlers are actually members of the New Blood. The artist is only a wee nipper at 35, far too young for the Millionaires Club.
Holy shit, he's 35.
Same age as... Franchise. He's 35 as well.
No, at this point.
Yeah.
He is weathered by that point anyway.
Yeah. He's had a rough couple of years. Speaking of rough couple of years, Tammy does her manky stripping routine, basically a female Val Venus.
Here's Tammy.
So, this is Kansas City, Missouri. And from what I heard, they call this the Show Me State.
Yeah!
So Kansas is known as the Show Me State.
That would be Missouri, actually, but duh.
Well, fellas, how about I show you mine? And then, boys, you can owe me one. Now hit my music.
Sit down, man.
Is Missouri the Show Me State? It is. Well done. Much like ourselves, Mark Madden has some shockingly insulting remarks for Sonny. He says he prefers the bleach blonde bimbo look and wrestling is combining hot action with hot tramp. I felt this was really weird. Like, the guys wrestled. There was this weird middle ground between wrestling like a big guy but doing cruiserweight spots. Ikea, is it?
Just call him the artist.
Artist, yeah. Artist has the lion's share of the offense, outsmarting Candido with dodges and counters. And, much like TNA today, WCW have an elevated entrance ramp that leads directly into the ring. Do you like it?
No.
Never liked it.
No. I like it.
Can I just say,
yeah?
The very notion that Chris Candido is a cruiserweight is utter bollocks. The size of him, he's so swollen. Quite the roid belly. There was a point where he went to suplex Candido to the outside. He obviously didn't want to take that bump as well, and he lifted him up, and since he didn't want to fall back, he kind of had to turn, and then because he turned, he nearly fell anyway. It's just really fucking bad.
Did he drop Candido?
He just dropped him, yeah.
Madden quips, "Tammy's the calm before the porn. Sorry, the storm." Referee Mickey Henson has to pretend not to see Candido's low blow. It's really bad. I was quite impressed with the two's work rate and variety of offense until they start going home where it all falls apart.
The artist I've just written here, like, he missed just move after move after move. Not quite Horace Hogan level of badness, but not that much better, like.
Ikea tries a powerbomb and Candido jumps at one time and he pulls him at the other time and it's like, oh, it'd land on your neck instead.
It was an absolutely awful powerbomb.
And then he jumps off the top rope to do, like, flip over and catch him for a schoolboy and they miss and Candido has to go, whoa! Madden covers it by immediately saying it's a smart match for some reason.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know. Maybe he's like, say something stupid, people will pay attention to him and forget. But the crowd can't hear him, so...
Yeah.
There was a square-off between Tammy and Paisley. Fucking crowd went mental. Did you not see the last fucking show?
That's the best they can do, so... Don't cheer for them, they might do it again.
Is there any chance there was some kind of piped-in crowd noise?
No, we were watching the live VHS replay. So we got a top rope follow-away Samoan drop, very nice, as Tammy distracts the ref. Cue for Paisley to get involved, and Tammy delivers a sick chair shot to the artist's head. Candido gets the three, the bell rings, and his theme plays. Wait, what the fuck? The ref says it's only two, Tammy get out of the ring for the moment, So Candido delivers a pile driver and flying headbutt and makes sure. Candido retains his Cruiserweight Championship at 7:59.
This match was bollocks, lads. It was so bad. Chris Candido was not that bad, but the artist, he has no charisma. He's not that good in the ring, which is kind of shocking because he was trained by Malenko, I think. He lost the fans after he did the suplex and the botched powerbomb and the botched top rope moves. Just three of those in a row, and they lost the crowd and the match was dead. Just fucking ended. And then the finish totally fucked up.
I mean, let it go. Instead of like restarting the match, you've fucked up the finish, fair enough, but nobody gives a shit. Just.
And then the fact that they went back into the match and it was a pile driver and headbutt and it was over again. Yeah. You're like, the fans see through that shit, you know?
The women throw handbags and Candido takes a low blow. That's two low blows in 19 minutes. As the faces get their heat back, stripping Tammy down to her beige gear.
I didn't want to see that. I boo written there for that. I know I said it last time. I just want to give her a cup of tea and a hug. Help her.
We get a hardcore championship / Terry Funk sizzle reel, and it harkens the next match. It's hardcore champion Terry Funk versus Norman Smiley. WCW's hardcore championship, eh? It was just enacted because WWF had one. It was created a year after the WWF brought theirs in November 98. It was just used as a comedy distraction segment. Perfect fodder for scaredy cat babyface screaming Norman Smiley. I actually thought some of his spots were quite funny. Not in this match, but in previous matches.
That's alright.
Like hiding, clinging onto a ceiling pipe and only being able to locate him by his screaming. Terry Funk would be like, "Oh, where are you, Norman?" And he'd be like, "Ah!" Smiley, he is good for short segments, but tonight he's going over 10 minutes. The pairing of Funk and Smiley continues on from last month at Spring Stampede, where Funk bested Smiley to win the vacated Hardcore Championship. And here they go again. It's a no DQ, weapons encouraged, falls count anywhere matchup. Backstage, Terry, middle-aged and crazy Funk, looks for Smiley in the men's toilets, but his decoy, some fat bloke in umpire gear, allows him to get the upper hand. Tons of plunder, which the crowd don't react to. I'm sure they, oh Steve, you'd love it, paying for a ticket to watch a match on TV.
Now, lads, in fairness, I miss these fucking matches.
Sorry, Steve.
No? But Jay, you used to be a big Crash Holly merc. Were you not?
Are you confusing me with no one? Funk throws chairs, metal legs first, at Smiley's partner. What a cunt.
That's really nice.
Where are your folding chairs?
And he's a good shot as well.
Terry Funk goes to give Norman Smiley a scoop slam, but loses his balance and falls. He drops him right on his head. You're like backstage on the concrete.
Cheers.
And like, I don't like saying bad things about Terry Funk because he's a legend and all, but if you can't do the move, you shouldn't be fucking doing it. End of story.
They brawl backstage from Mean Gene's interview set to storage boxes to the entrance ramp when it's revealed it's Ralphus, who was previously a truck driver for WCW and Chris Jericho's lackey, amongst other comedy spots. Our eyes get burnt as Funk exposes far, far too much of him.
And then there's the Road Dog, I'm going to bang you in the arse spot.
That's brilliant.
That they both did.
Didn't like
to
that.
Terry Funk?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Come on, no? Steve.
Would you not like to see them do it to Triple H?
I don't want to see it in wrestling. Like, I didn't like it when the Road Dog did it 15 years ago. Like.
To Triple H, yes. Denigration.
Did you like Ralphus and his trash can shots? They are fucking hilarious. It's a it's barely touching him. It's fucking
He's
brilliant.
Terrified of those cans.
Yeah. It's just like a.
With this match, your mileage may vary, but this was painfully slow. Like it ground to a crawl. After a couple of comedy doggy style spots, Funk schoolboy Smiley, who is attending to Ralphus and gets the three at 10:03 to retain his hardcore championship. Smiley and Ralphus immediately shrug it off and dance in the ring anyway.
Sometimes I hate wrestling.
I thought this match encapsulated why I don't want to see the hardcore belt return, because there's no storyline or drama to the matches. Just brawl around backstage and pretend to hit each other with various hilarious objects, cheapening their use. Like, it's awesome for a video game, but boring week in, week out on TV. Like, the belt retired over a decade ago and I've still had my fill. WCW, WWF drove it into the ground until everyone hated it. So, no, sorry, no. Steve.
I'm not saying it was a classic.
Good!
Do you not think it's nice to have a breather like this? A nice, relaxing kind of comedy match during a pay-per-view that doesn't involve Hornswoggle or, you know, some variant of him?
I totally get what you're saying, but I just can't look past this match. It was so bad. I can't think of anything good to say about it. Like, it didn't make me laugh, and it wasn't entertaining, and it wasn't a good match.
So, what happened to WCW's hardcore title? Well, Eric Bischoff's one and only wrestling championship was winning the hardcore title in June, and when WWF bought WCW, they didn't use the belt. That's the end of it. So it's somewhere locked up in Titan Towers.
Wow.
Funk announced his retirement from wrestling in 1983. And he's still doing run-ins on the indie circuit today. Norman Smiley got a job working as a trainer in WWE's developmental ground, FCW.
The WWE Center, right?
That's right. Very good.
Fair play to him. Like, this guy, he's not that good. He's not that great, but he's still working in the wrestling business. That, like, thumbs up, mate.
But would Funk not rather be a trainer at FCW, you know, instead of doing run-ins on the indie circuit?
Like, I'd imagine they would have courted him at some point.
I don't know if WWE really respect Terry Funk's wrestling.
But they respect Norman Smiley's wrestling.
And Billy Gunn's wrestling.
And huge erection. That's a great point, Steve. I'm wrong.
In the parking lot, Arquette arrives in a limo. Mean Gene asks him, since Courtney gets $1 million per episode, that's a reference to Friends, the actors banded together for a pay rise in 1996, why he's not with the Millionaires Club? He says he doesn't need his wife's money, and that's that.
That's it. He says, I'm a millionaire as well. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a big movie actor. Hello.
He should be like, but you did take the part in Ready to Rumble.
That's true.
I always thought it was weird. His body language and attire, like, it was all black, and he seemed a bit heelish a bit.
Oh, a sign of things to come, maybe. Mm,
a brown cloud.
Everything I do in my life, from head to toe, is absolutely perfect. And right now, I'm going to show you why they call me Mr. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. You see, the perfect game. What else would you expect from Mr. Perfect?
So it's the perfect one, Sean Stasiak versus Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig. It's the New Blood versus the Millionaires Club matchup. Russo's trying to bequeath the Perfect gimmick onto Stasiak by feuding with Hennig. It might work if they were a tag team and Perfect took him under his wing, maybe? Or better yet, Stasiak could just get his own gimmick and stop mooching off Hennig.
Oh, you want to talk about mooching off Hennig? Oh, in the Nitro after the previous Thunder, where Arquette won the belt, Sean Stasiak had a brand new gimmick where throughout the show they were showing backstage segments of him ripping off the old Mr. Perfect gimmicks where he was throwing basketballs and
I love it.
Hitting home runs and everything else. I mean,
it genius was looks at his todger like
fucking shameless. It was shameless.
The commentators confirmed the laziness of this feud by saying maybe there's some underlying problems we don't know about.
Say that about anything.
Exactly, yeah. This must be a great feud. We just don't know why.
Lots of rest moves and posing to run down the clock from the get-go. Stasiak fails to out-wrestle him, so maybe he can out-rest-hold him.
It's really weird. I mean, the opening minute of this match was booked to try to convince the fans that Stasiak is a better wrestler than Mr. Perfect. I'm like, if you think anyone's falling for that, I mean, you're fucking stupid, mate.
Hennig starts selling his back. Ooh, that'll be a plot point. Holy fuck, what a shot of a fan who happens to be holding DDP's book. He's like, ah. It was amazing, shameless promotion.
That's awesome.
After ducking a crossbody, Hennig runs wild. Well, he walks wild and slaps the ref's head for breaking his corner punches.
It's the continuation of this recurring thing, the new WCW, where refs are getting the fucking shit kicked out of them and wrestlers are not being disqualified. In this, you know, Perfect slaps the ref on the head.
Oh, it's so funny because the ref's being bold and he's like, surprising, put him over his knee. Like. So, yeah, no DQ, obviously. This allows Stasiak to catapult Hennig headfirst into the turnbuckle, following up with a perfect plex to get the extremely clean 3 at 7:54. Hennig played dead, complete KO, no attempt to kick out. Thank you. The commentators...
That's really weird, sorry. The perfect plex is not a knockout move, it's a pinning move.
No, in fairness, they said he might have hit his head off the ring post when he took a slingshot.
He clearly didn't.
This is not the point. Maybe he did.
The commentators focus more on the Hennigplex being used as opposed to Stasiak winning uber clean. Not an enjoyable match. I thought either Hennig was injured or uninterested or both.
I kind of thought the same to you, but I thought it was down to Stasiak not being very good.
I thought it was the worst match on the card so far. And isn't it obvious now? Do you remember, like we said, that Luger Hennig had a good match at WrestleMania 9? Look what happens when you put Hennig in the ring with a lump.
Oh!
A mere 7 years later. See you now. I told you you were a shit.
I like your logic, Steve. I really do. I think it's wrong. I think it's more likely that Kurt Hennig wasn't bumping like a boss tonight. But no, I love that. That's amazing logic.
Match number 4 is Humorous versus Scott Steiner. The leader of the MIA Misfits in action spouts this awful work shoot about his real name being Hugh G. Rection. Jesus.
Fans booed. I sighed.
I never want to be called Hugh Morris again. Not from you. Not from you. That name was given to me by Eric Bischoff, and it was a brain fart. It was to make me look stupid. From now on, you address me by my real name. Hugh G. Rection. Captain Rection for short.
Is Steiner's US title on the line?
No.
Yes. It was.
Was it?
But I had to check it up.
Where was the fucking belt?
Exactly.
One of the two girls had it.
Yes. Steiner's hoochies, as Madden calls them, Shakira and Medeja, kiss his muscles and... Oh, that was pretty cool. Tons of stalling. Steiner jawjacks with fans and other fans who are actually fired MIA members. The punchline being that they resigned under their new gimmick names. Actually, at the point, you know, Major Stash there, Van Hammer, No mustache, obviously.
Ah, so he does like his weed.
Yes. He was originally Private Stash, a much better pun name, but he complained about having a low-ranking title in this fictional fucking group. He threw a strop and got his way.
Fucking Mark. That's great, though.
This whole match, it felt like running down the clock from the get-go, booking around Steiner's immobility. The Hoochies get some heel heat, slyly attacking Retchen, causing him to land in the Tree of Woe as Steiner runs through his signature spots, the standing elbow drop, the push-ups, and a wonderful showcase of suplexes. We get a T-bone, a belly-to-belly, an overhead, and the double underhook botchplex.
I don't remember that, actually.
He double underhook and fall down and land on your neck somehow. I was just thinking, like, where's Andre going, stealing my shit?
And be like, hold on, you have to at least get off the ropes if you want me to take your seriously there, Andre.
Hugh Morris, Bill DeMott, not a great wrestler. He's a trainer at FCW as well, despite sexual harassment claims by two released wrestlers. I just want, why would you hire a dude that's not a good wrestler as a trainer?
Like, it's weird. Like, maybe he's like a perfect stooge and he does what he's told.
Like Billy Gunn, why is he a road agent? What does he have to offer in terms of in-ring work or promo work? Mm-hmm. Like, and imagine you're hiring Lance Storm. He's an awesome mat wrestler. But yeah.
Yeah, but like Billy Gunn did put on entertaining matches back in the day.
Top 5 entertaining matches by Billy Gunn by OOC. Number 5.
With the absolute classic where he got his arse out against The Rock.
Yeah.
Number 4.
You love the New Age Outlaws.
There was a time when he got his belly button pierced. When he was the one, Billy Gunn.
Did he get his belly button
he
pierced?
He did.
So that was 4.
Number 3.
Number 3 is the apricot pants.
What matches the apricot?
A few of them. Okay. Several.
Number 2.
Look at me then.
The Shoguns.
Amazing half-ass tag team. And number 1, the best Billy Gunn match.
Number 1. He had a good match, actually, with the beautiful people in TNA.
You're going to cite Velvet Sky as his best Steve, your favourite. Dissension. Throughout the match, the commentators stress how Steiner's in the new blood, but his allegiance is tenuous at best, presumably setting up a breakup and face turn down the line. And he would in the summer, and then he'd rejoin what was left of them. Big Papa Pump cuts off Retchen's hope spots a few times. Cue the finish. Retchen counters what would be a Steiner screwdriver into a seated tombstone, like the one Owen broke Austin's neck with, but misses his follow-up moonsault, which is actually really quite impressive given his size. Steiner moves but still gets clipped with DeMott's feet. Nay bother, Steiner locks on the Steiner recliner. And gets the win at 9:24. Faceless goons, Orin B Security, Russo and Bischoff Security, hit the ring to brawl with the MIA, and Booker T makes the difference. Hooray! Hooray. Yeah, not good. Steiner was gassed almost immediately, and although solid enough, Morris is quite an extremely boring, windy, basic wrestler. So what do you think of the match?
Not a good match, but on this card, not that bad.
Steve, lighten the mood.
Yeah, I like always nice to see Steiner. I'm always happy to sit through any of his promos or matches.
Yeah, I'm a big fan as well.
Major Guns has some history with Steiner, as she was brought in as an NWO party girl by Kevin Nash. After this stint with MIA, she turned heel and joined. All right, Steve. Guess which wrestler would best fit a bleach blonde fake titted valet.
Steiner.
Okay, that actually works. Give me the exact opposite of that. Okay, imagine
Dean Malenko.
This guy.
It wasn't Dean Malenko, was it?
Lance Storm.
Wow.
In Team Canada. After WCW closed, she did some indie dates before starting her porn career in 2006 under real name Tylene Book Searchy Searchy.
And?
Yeah.
Yeah, spicy.
The following contest is Champagne Chris Kanyon versus the New Bloods Mike Awesome. Backstage, Kanyon cuts a face promo saying he puts his friendship with DDP ahead of the New Blood, and you get ahead in business not by kissing ass, but busting your own. That's just simply not true. It's a nice sentiment, though, you know. So, Steve, how do you get ahead in wrestling?
By marrying the boss's daughter.
Fantastic. Anything?
By aligning yourself up with the top guys.
That's what are you,
it's all that cunt anyway. Carrying bags.
Sabotaging others. Guaranteed contract. Creative control. And if possible, wear bicycle shorts. Oh, by the way, Kanyon's friendship with DDP didn't get him a spot in the Millionaires Club. He's just DDP's associate.
He's not in the Millionaires Club?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like me and you are in OSW and he's our associate. No.
Sound like the shit out of that.
Oh, just before we start, I was like, Kanyon versus Awesome. I was really worried about this match because it's like the dude who takes crazy bumps to get over versus the cunt who delivers sick bumps to get over.
There was a few spots that justified your worry, Jay.
Immediately, the fans' attention turns to something outside the ring. It must be a fight.
Must be a scrap. Everyone just turns to the like top left of the screen and no one's watching the match that's going on.
Much like Arquette earlier, it's odd hearing WCW announcers use the term sports entertainment as opposed to wrestling. Because as the alternative to WWF, you're like, wrestling, we're not this... You know, Cornette's always banging on them, it's sports entertainment. It was a term coined by Vince McMahon in an effort to rebrand his wrestling company to avoid taxes.
Taxes, the hand thing means the taxes.
You know what? When I was watching this match, it's like, you know what this match is? It's like, Steve, we need to go 12 minutes. You know, what's a good time waster? Like, we could brawl on the outside. We could brawl in the crowd for a bit. We'll dip in the ring and then I'll just choke you with whatever's around and time to go home.
And honestly, it wasn't the worst brawling match ever.
This match was okay. Mike Awesome is... In terms of doing moves, he's very good, but he has no clue of when to do moves. Like, the opening move of this match is the Taker dive over the top ropes. I mean, he does it once a year, and it gets a massive pop, and I'm sure Mike Awesome got a little pop and a little ECW chant, but you have to build up to this shit, you know?
So work the match as no DQ and... No countouts, and that's the ticket.
And no psychology either.
Okay, burial aside, the commentators get over Awesome repeatedly homing in on Kanyon's neck, and that's the story of this match. Kanyon takes control with a reverse neckbreaker from the top rope, but can't put Awesome away. There's a nasty Alabama slam and powerbomb onto Kanyon's neck, and then a release German suplex. But Awesome is denied giving the powerbomb onto the exposed concrete as the Wolfpack theme hits and Millionaires Club Kevin Nash attacks Awesome. That's payback for Awesome attacking the injured Nash last month. New Blood's goons hit the ring, then the Millionaires Club, then R&B security, and we all schmoz as some dickhead keeps hitting the ring bell. Faces come out on top as Kanyon's theme hits. Hurrah! Technically, Kanyon should have won, but the match is ruled a...
No contest to!
Nice. WCW also made good use of Awesome's reputation of delivering sick bumps, because he was going to do two really nasty bumps, and they didn't do them, so I thought that was good. Awesome showed he's both powerful and athletic for such a big guy, but I thought, man, it's such a shame his character and promos are the absolute pits, and he felt the need to constantly resort to killing other guys to get over.
To be nice to him, I thought he was in pretty bad shape for his whole career, but he's in awesome shape in this match. Sorry about that.
The commentator says, does Mike Awesome have the best powerbomb in the business?
They immediately go, no, it's Kevin Nash, because this was the Let's Put Kevin Nash Over show In a
that's every show.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash is the best power bomb in the sport. Mike Awesome at best, sloppy seconds.
Did you hear the fucking reaction he got when he came out?
Yeah.
Who's still cheering this fucking guy? After all he's done, I just don't understand it. He clearly hates every single person sitting in this crowd, and you are cheering.
He hates wrestling.
Yeah. It's just incredible. It's like. It's not literally just incredible.
It's ECW. Or Horace Hogan.
I'm just about sick and tired of hearing about the total package. You're calling out 6'4", 270, 4% body fat, and slammery? Well, you got it, you little punk.
I'll never have a body like you, Lex. And there's probably a lot of people in here that think I'll never have a woman like Liz on my arm. You don't own Liz's contract. WCW owns it. Liz is my property.
Over my dead body.
There's a fight going on.
He's got Elizabeth.
He kidnapped her.
Oh, yes, John.
He's been handcuffed.
Come on, Buff. Fight him, Buff. Wreck it.
Liz, you got to see this. I got a surprise just for you.
Hey, where you going? What are you wearing? Didn't you used to wear that with him? What is that, a tablecloth? Maybe you should go change. How about that?
You can't tell me what to do, okay?
Oh, no? Well, this says that I can. I own you, Liz, remember? Now go change that tablecloth, please. Put on some of the little classes. Go around me. Yeah. Wait till you see this.
All right, it's Millionaires Club Lex Luger versus New Blood's Buff Bagwell. Steve, first things first. The fucking state of Luger.
What?
Alright, I know it's unfair to compare Mania 9 to a B-level WCW pay-per-view, but like, Mania 9, you got multiple gold bikini-clad women holding mirrors, and he's got a flashy cloak, lovely get-up, nice pyro that fits in, and here it's some owl lad in black sweats going,
I haven't written here, hilarious farty pyro. But I loved his music. I thought his music was great.
For me, I think we're all in agreement. I said Luger's entrance doesn't quite have the same gravitas as his WrestleMania.
No, it felt really old, didn't it?
State of your tracksuit, mate. So yeah, I agree.
It's like WWF had Lex Luger and WCW have Larry Fole. Yeah.
But lads, 7 years on, he's still in awesome shape.
Yep.
He is.
4% body fat.
4%.
As they let us know a lot.
Bagwell's intro. He's great. There is a man who enjoys his entrance, and it's truly part of his entrance.
He has a lot of charisma.
Like, you could not skimp out on his entrance. Could you imagine if there was no pyro, and he'd just look at the ramp and go... I have to say, I'm shocked that these lads aren't mates. They both have the same gimmick. The, I've got a great body, look at my body. You know, they should be a tag team.
Weren't they a tag team at some point? No?
They should be totally buffed. Well, they should. And they were. late 2000s, they tagged and feuded with Goldberg.
But wouldn't Luger secretly despise him because he cut corners and got calf implants? And rightfully so. That's a really gimpy thing to do, like.
Yep.
The match opens with Buff posing to Lex, you know.
Check out my traps,
look
mate.
Look at my traps and all. And then Luger poses back at him. And Buff is like, oh, fuck, you know. Holy shit, he's kind of taken back. And I was just like, just have sex already. Jesus Christ, this is awful.
He can't get naked because then he'll see his calves.
Very good.
We get a rare stop the 10 count turnbuckle punches and the crowd don't get the count along. Oh. Equally rare these days is a heel using ropes for extra leverage on a headlock and hiding it from the ref a few times. Do you vent them before the finish?
You're probably getting to it, but the hilarious Liz pushing Russo off the chair spot.
One,
Your favorite kind of whoop, 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 you know, the comedy fall over.
He should have been watching the show. He would have learned how to combat falling down with the
I thought that the fans were loving Lex in this match. He was so over. He hit a nice suplex.
That's it.
I've written down here, I am shocked at how decent this match is. I expected it to be really bad.
Like every other Lex Luger match you've ever watched.
So to finish these, a lazy camel clutch, Buff, he just straddles him and like holds his chin. It sounds worse. See, Buff doesn't pin back his arms for the camel clutch, so it's just a rest spot, like. Which is Liz's cue to escape from Russo's locker room to ringside. Great. Russo. Falling off his chair.
And he even made the noises. It's brilliant.
She attempts to use Russo's bat but fails. It's alright. She gets a second chance. No DQ for Buff or Liz using the bat in full view of the ref. And Package applies the torture rack. Gets a big pop, claiming a submission victory at 9:30. Extremely boring match, which included brawling outside, disregard for the rules, and another run-in finish. Four of the five matches so far have had outside interference, so everyone except Stasiaks.
And every match has had brawling outside of the ring as well.
And we're only halfway through the show.
Woo!
To break up the faces celebration, your boy Chuck Palumbo debuts by blindsiding Luger, and the heels beat him down. Chuck's wearing Luger's jocks with Luger's Main Event Fitness Gymnasium logo on the back. So the commentator suggests Palumbo's new moniker. New total package? Better total package? Improved total package? The complete package?
Yes,
definitely. And bigger package. I'm shocked this creative team didn't have a midget Lex Luger and call him the small package.
Oh.
Showing off, Palumbo applies Luger's torture rack on him. So just like Sean Stasiak trying to take Perfect's gimmick, Palumbo is trying to take Luger's. Best of luck.
Would they not have been better off doing this gimmick with Buff Daddy? You know, like, Luger's a beast. Chuck's a big guy and he's in good shape, but Buff Daddy, apart from the calves, is a beast, you know? Sean O'Hare would have been a better choice than Chuck, you know?
Or Sean Stasiak.
So I thought, as misguided as it is and like doomed to failure, at least Russo's trying to build new stars off old stars.
Yeah.
Palumbo would form a tag team with Sean Stasiak called the Perfect Event. Then with similar WCW power plant acts as the Natural Born Thrillers. Wasn't great. Up next, it's the franchise, Shane Douglas versus the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, in a New Blood versus Millionaires Club matchup. Shane Douglas finally gets to leech off Nature Boy's star power.
To be the man, woo, you gotta beat the man. I'm the dirtiest player in the game. It goes on, and it ends tonight. I'm damn sick and tired of hearing it. Nature Boy, look into my eyes. The window on a man's soul. Tonight, Nate, I retire your ass once and for all, and when the dust settles, you will know you just got your ass franchised.
In a backstage interview, the franchise asked Nature Boy to look into his eyes as he squints his eyes into the camera. I get the feeling he thinks if he wins the match, Flair will stop Nature. Does he think he'll be Nature Boy?
Yeah, that's not how wrestling works. What? You can destroy Flair and the next night he's still going to be Flair and you're going to be fucking Dean Douglas.
Sorry, mate.
What is the bad blood between these two? And I assume it's legitimate, yeah?
Well, Shane Douglas hates him because he's so successful. And Ric Flair is like, the fuck is Shane Douglas? Like,
yeah, that's pretty much how I thought it would have been.
With Douglas, it's like, just because you shot Jesse James, don't make it Jesse James.
Yeah. All it does is makes you someone who's able to shoot.
Flair comes out and Jesus Christ, he's dressed in black slacks and plain black tee to wrestle. Fuck's sake.
And he's not in bad shape. He doesn't need to do this.
Maybe it's his version of street clothes.
But is this a street fight? No.
Flair schools him on the mic. Absolutely kills him. Very entertaining. Let's take a listen.
You know the deal, brother. When the world champion walks down the aisle, the referee always lifts the rope, boy.
You're not the world champion.
You wouldn't know anything about that. But in this town, where guys like Handsome Harley Race, woo! And the Nature Boy Ric Flair have worked hard to preserve the great sport of professional wrestling, a dipshit like you's got nothing to say about it, buddy.
Yikes!
Woo!
In London.
Tonight, brother, it's just like 1981. I'm gonna style and profile. I'm gonna walk the aisle, and I'm gonna kick your ECW ass, pal.
He just shat all over Douglas's promo.
He killed him, didn't he?
He annihilated him. He didn't even try. He didn't even try to try. It was so easy for him. Love Ric Flair.
Douglas! He's dressed in black and spiky yellow trunks and tasseled knee pads. So for the first time tonight... Actually, Steve, will you ask me?
Ooh! So, Jay, what bar is Shane Douglas? That felt fucking weird.
Yeah.
So prior to recording the show, we sent out the call and asked the lads to do this episode's What Bar. We had over 200 responses.
Wow.
And many amazing entries, but I'm going to have to whittle them down to a few of my favourites.
Okay, awesome, awesome, awesome.
So black with spiky yellow.
This is going to be amazing.
Okay, Shane Douglas is... a limited edition Mars Caramel Bar.
Very good.
And contemporary as well.
Yeah, I fucking... yeah. And it's also a favourite. I'm a big fan of those bars.
A can or bottle of Strongbow Original Cider.
Love it.
Yeah.
A packet of Marmite Crisps.
I don't think I'd love them, but I love the packet.
Whey!
That is great.
A 1990s United Kingdom... Batman chocolate bar.
I remember them. They were great.
Down at the old tuck shop.
Yeah.
A can of Rockstar juice.
Nice. Wow, yes. Nice.
An Abba Zaba taffy peanut butter bar.
Holy shit. What? Where the fuck is that from?
Annabelle's.
The country of Annabelle. The very proud race. And a special mention for Black Gold Premium Dog Food Performance Blend.
Beautiful. Absolutely awesome. It'd be great if you could like Photoshop that and put Douglas' head in it.
Yeah.
That was great. Well, I like that gimmick.
Well done, lads.
Like that gimmick. Good stuff. Well done, guys.
So it's the 51-year-old versus the 35-year-old. Flair's still bumping like a boss, seen with the big back body drop and textbook suplex. Flair does his countered off the top rope spot, and Franchise locks in Flair's finisher, the figure four. Second time round, Franchise gets muddled, and Flair saves him by quickly countering. Nate has the decency to send the ref away for his low blow spot, but not for his blatant knee to the groin and kick in the balls. But at least he intimidates the ref to explain him not being DQ'd. Franchise retrieves a metal chain from his knee pad. Oh, referee's fault. He should have checked his attire prior to the bout. And hits Eddie's three amigos. Tumbleweeds. Flair and Douglas going back and forth. His punches look really fake, but Flair's chops was actually connect, sound, and look great.
Franchise cuts it off right to the top of the head. There's another story here. On Wednesday, Flair won the opportunity to buy the world title at the Great American Bash.
I actually think it's a pretty heated match. I definitely got the impression that they didn't like each other, and that's what they were going for.
Finally, Flair motioned to apply the figure four as Buff Bagwell jogs down the ramp, happy as Larry, and a guy dressed like Crow Sting hits Nate with the bat, whilst the ref's attention is on Buff. The commentators immediately assume it's Russo, having dressed like Sting before, and Franchise rolls up Nitch and gets the win at 8:46. Douglas hits a super dick shot with the chain as the fake Sting awkwardly stays in the ring. Just look at him, you're too clean shaven, you're not Russo. And a different body type to Jarrett, so you're not, who are you? Lex Luger helps out, but he's taken out by Russo. Ah, shit, Buzz. Fucking Russo balling you over. Fake Sting reveals himself. Oh my god, it's David Flair.
What's with his big rosy cheeks? He's like the most unassuming person in the world. How could anyone be frightened of him? You'd just be like, ooh, little cheeks in him.
Take a Granny Smith apple.
I have a bigger question to ask you, Steve, right? Lex Luger comes down, saves Ric Flair. Then, by the time Fake Sting takes off the mask to reveal it's David Flair, Luger's gone.
Russo.
And he gets battered.
Russo sent him packing.
Where did he go?
Russo sent him packing.
He probably just sat down and Russo pushed him over. He's like, woo, woo, woo. Yes, the two beat up Slick Rick as Russo delights in crotch chops. Kevin Nash makes the very slow save, incapacitating David Flair with one awful knee. But the heels succeed as David Flair's girlfriend Daphne low blows Nashy, leaving him primed for more bat shots. And the heels leave triumphant.
What's with three of the biggest names in 20, 30 years of the business, Flair, Nashy and Luger, being laid out by David Flair, Daphne and Russo? For fuck's sake.
Because Russo booked it. And he doesn't have a fucking clue.
Like, I like you putting new stars over, but pick someone with a bit of talent. We should have to pick the absolute bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
There's no one with less talent than David Flair. Who has less talent than David Flair?
It's tough to think of one worse than David Flair, though. I mean, the most apt visual is like him cowering in a toilet from
the highlight of his career.
Beautiful. That's how it would be.
I suppose you can say like Russo's doing a favour to Flair by trying to bring David Flair in, but it's terrible. He's terrible.
Even just look at him when he's walking down to the ring wearing the mask. He thinks he's fucking Jason from Friday the whatever.
13
Friday the
12th.
Yeah.
I actually thought that I got him mixed up with the other
David Myers, I think.
David Myers.
But he was just walking so awkwardly. It was like the mask didn't fit and he was worried if he moved his head it would. Watch it again. He's so bad. He can't even walk.
Maybe he just didn't want to give. Everyone knows. Oh, David Flair's gait. You know, so he's like, I'll be quite stiff and no one will know it's me, you know.
Instantly recognisable.
David Flair. I don't want to confuse you, obviously, but see, what happened on Thunder last week?
A Thunder last week? Oh, God. Luger goes off looking for Liz and we get random shots of him throughout the show of him like walking angrily with his top off, opening doors and it's like, Liz! And he's like, no. Oh, Liz! No. What does Flair do?
It's marginally more important than Liz!
I don't remember what Flair does.
Last week on Thunder, Flair won a battle royal for a world title shot at a pay-per-view. Not this pay-per-view.
Oh, okay, thank God.
The next pay-per-view. But you didn't have it at the next pay-per-view. He was wrestling David Flair, Great American Bash. But he challenged for and won the belt on Nitro 8 days after Slamboree for a 7th WCW title. How about that?
Holy shit.
So David Flair wrestled him for the WCW title.
No, he had lost it by that time.
How many title changes in the space of a few weeks?
I've got it right here.
Awesome. Let's do this shit.
Steve! How many times has WCW's world title changed hands? In 2000, I'm going to include vacancies. So it's like, if someone vacates the belt, that counts as one.
Oh, man. Stick me in for 8.
23.
The answer is 25 times.
Oh.
You undersold it, Steve.
Oh my goodness.
Let's go through it. Sold out, 16th January, Bret Hart relinquishes the belt due to injury, and Chris Benoit defeats Sid for his first and only WCW title. He leaves for the WWF the next day, and the belt is vacated. Sid picks it up on Nitro the following week, defeating heel Commissioner Nash, who declares the title vacant the next night on Thunder. He gives himself the belt, but Sid wins it back the same night.
This is wonderful.
Reboot Nitro, 10th April. Russo and Bischoff vacate all of the titles, including Sid's world title. Spring Stampede. Kimberly screws DDP and Jarrett wins his first WCW title. 8 days later on Nitro, DDP wins it back in a cage match. A day later on Thunder, David Arquette wins the title in a tag match, pinning Eric Bischoff. Okay, spoiler lads, hold yours. At Slamboree, this pay-per-view, Jarrett regains the title in a triple cage match. 8 days later, Ric Flair gets the title shot he won in a battle royal and beats Jarrett. Russo strips him of the belt the next week and awards it to Jarrett, who jobs to Kevin Nash at the following Thunder. On Nitro the next week, Nash gives the title to Ric Flair, who loses it to Jarrett that night. And that's from January to June.
Holy shit. Sorry. Do you know how much money this company lost in 2000?
Let us push on. 2 weeks later, July 9th, Bash at the Beach. Jarrett lays down for Hogan, but it doesn't count. The title reign is nulled in a scathing shoot promo by Russo, and Hogan and Bischoff leave WCW. Jarrett and Booker have an impromptu title match, and Booker wins his first WCW title. The following month on Nitro, Kevin Nash picks up his fifth WCW title and drops it back to Booker in September's Fall Brawl.
So that was a lengthy title reign then.
Yeah, a month.
8 days later on Nitro, Vince Russo wins the title in Russo's Revenge, a steel cage match, and vacates it the next week. That same night, Booker and Jarrett go at it again, and Booker comes out on top for his third title reign. Booker drops it at Mayhem the next month to Scott Steiner, who mercifully keeps it for the rest of the year. And just for completion, he does keep it until Final Nitro, March 26, 2001, where he drops it to Booker after WCW is purchased by the WWF.
Okay, so he... Whoa. That's insane, lads. I mean... No wonder they're out of business.
So in 2000, WCW's world title status has changed a grand total of 25 times. So 19 title wins by 10 different wrestlers. Benoit, Sid, Nash, Jarrett, DDP, Arquette, Flair, Booker, Russo, Steiner. And a special congratulations to Abeyance, the vacant world champion, holding it a record 7 times.
Oh, nice.
Wow. It's time for the Outbreak Questionarium. I had a bar for Tammy Sitch.
Steve, what bar is Tammy Sitch?
Check this out. Isn't this stuff cool? It's the new WCW official merchandise. And it's excellent. They've got foam fingers, fan packs, tote bags, championship belts, clocks, something for everyone. And this is my favorite. I bought it all. And so can you. Just call toll-free to order your WCW catalog at 1-800-4-WCW.
The name's Venom. Vic, you think those announcers on TV are shooting with you? I don't think so. It's all in the spoilings. You either got them or you don't. You want fluff? Go eat them. Marshmallow. You want the dirt? Guess who's got the shovel? You want raw? I'll get downright nasty. Zip.
subscribe to an Attitude. Get 12 issues of both the WWF and Raw magazines. That's 24 issues in all for one low price of $29.97. That's 68% off the newsstand price. Or subscribe to either for $19.97. Call 815-734-1161 or send a check or money order to the address on your screen.
Do something with yourself. Send the cash.
So the question for the Android questionnaire is, what bar is Tammy Sitch?
She was wearing a silver dress. And Kit Kat minus the wrapper, e.g. tinfoil.
Next up, it's Vampiro versus Sting. Another New Blood versus Millionaires Club match.
New red liquid. I don't get it. They say blood so fucking much, but they can't use the word blood if it's blood. But they can't say blood.
The red comes down again. That's for the mysterious red liquid.
I am gonna show you what it's like to walk around with your humanity stripped, just like I have, Sting. Welcome to my nightmare.
And out of the darkness, Sting repels.
Right now, I feel like rump and stump and graveyard destruction. You think I don't know anything about pain?
Vampiro, did you see that?
I don't know what he's doing. Oh, my God! Sting is helpless,
and Vampiro likes it!
You're entering my world, and I am sick, and I am twisted, and I'm a little freaky, like a spider set to the fly. Come into my web, boy. The hunter has become the hunted. I'm your anti-hero, Sting. I have decided your destiny and sealed your fate, because I am a monster that you should have been.
Get a supernatural promo package explaining the feud to Tom Mutchley. So despite the reboot Nitro killing feuds and starting new ones, these guys continue theirs. No wait, that's Alive by Pearl Jam?
Really?
I was thinking more just the instruments.
Come As You Are by Nirvana maybe?
No, that's Raven's theme.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Put me down for a bit of sandwich hair in there.
Jericho has Evil, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking this is more Alive by POD.
Me.
Hilarious.
Give these men a record deal.
Do you reckon anyone in the world would sit there and listen to us going me.
You decide.
Could do this all day.
We have been doing it all day.
Hilarious. What did you think of Vampiro on the mic? He's so bad at cutting promos, which is a shame, because his image and his gimmick is a fucking winner, like turkey dinner.
Yeah. Lads, by the way, this feud looked fucking awesome.
On Nitro the week before, they had a fight in a fucking graveyard that was shot in black and white with crazy filters and stuff. And, okay, the match wasn't good, but the setting and, you know, like, you don't see shit like that in wrestling. It would have been way better if they had put the graveyard match on this, like.
Was the graveyard match a graveyard smash?
It was.
I thought Sting's entrance really awesome. He comes out like there's strobe lighting and lightning sounds and twirling his baseball bat, goading Vampiro.
He
that was awesome.
Is a star. He looks like a star. The fans pop and treat him like a star. Yeah, Sting's great. He's really great.
How did they get the Raven to stay there? Because it wouldn't have been much of a shot if, you know, they pointed
well,
the camera.
Well, they gave him a bag of ham and a bag of smack and he's just his Larry, like.
Is this the same Raven that attacked Bischoff in TNA, like, 15 years, or, like, 9 years
massive,
later?
Big roid Raven, like. I thought, like, Vampiro cool look, but he looks like such a carny.
He looks like a junkie.
Yes. Yes. Bitch low blow. And Vampiro takes control. Vamp uses a lead pipe on Sting, and finally, in match 6 of the night, the commentators say Russo's told refs to allow more leeway with these fights, and it's the new WCW. That's all I wanted. Just here's an explanation about why no one's getting DQs and throwing the rule book out the window.
Yeah, it only took 8 matches.
Hmm. They brawl to the entrance ramp. Jeez, just again.
Every match, just brawl outside multiple times. It's too much. Damn it, D-Lo.
Yeah, just... Where's the tag matches? Where's the, like, X Division spot fest?
Yeah.
Where's Eddie Guerrero?
In WWF.
Oh, bollocks. Shit.
You'd be like, we'll give you Dean Malenko back. Him and the artist can be tearing up in their slacks and fucking polo shirts.
Stinger turns it around with a low blow of his own and a super powerbomb. Running wild with the lead pipe, and Stinger splashes that miss with the pipe.
Sting hits a top row powerbomb, and I was just like, Mike Awesome, watch this and see how it's done safely without necking someone, you know?
Awkward Stinger death drop. Thanks, Vamp, you fucking indie geek. He has to turn him around the right way.
Mm.
And Stinger successfully rallies the crowd, finally getting a rise out of them. It was great. And hits a second death drop and gets the clean 3. A godsend in this pay-per-view in 6:49. Sting sees Vamp recovering on the screen, and so he goes back and knocks Vampiro down again, and lighting effects go off.
Farty promo. Oh, farty pyro.
Farty promo. That's so fucking Natty Nighter.
Oh, great.
Lads, what the fuck? This was a squash match.
It was weird because their feud was... Sting getting battered, Sting getting redded on. And it just built up to this. It was over in 5 minutes. And it's weird because I thought I was going to hate it, but I was glad for it. You know, I was like, oh, someone won. Someone's going to get over. Someone's a fucking star. Well done, Vince Russo. It's the only time I'll say that tonight. He made Sting look like an absolute world beater.
That young upstart.
That know? Young upstart.
Barely 30
yeah.
years in the business.
Yeah, it was cool. I was so happy that someone was over on the show.
Yeah.
Because they've been quiet all night. And it's not their fault. Paper stank, like.
You know, you've got to give the fans reason to fucking perk up, you know?
So Vampiro, Sting. The two would go at it again next month. This whole feud. Sting would just... batter and repeatedly job out Vampiro, decimate him clean, except for the horrendous Human Torch match where Vampiro set Sting's stunt double on fire.
And you just see Sting kind of walking to the back.
They tried to hide it, the switcheroo, by doing the big Sting strobe light effect, and Sting goes off another light, runs up and takes a big bump. It was horrendous, but it was marginally better than in 98 in the WWF, where Kane got his pyro and he set one of the stagehands on fire, and your man's like, oh my god, I'm on fire. And they had a fucking disclaimer at the bottom of the screen saying, this is a stunt. For shame.
Tanay interviews DDP and David Arquette.
Yes. DDP reveals the game plan. Arquette should hide from Jarrett at the top of the cage. Nash walks backstage. His third segment tonight.
Tonight here at Slamboree, Kidman, your opponent, Bischoff, the special referee.
You know, it's kind of funny to listen to these two guys. Billy Kidman, the flea market champion, let me get this straight, and Eric Bischoff, the guy who just now got his job back, is going to get rid of Terry Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan. It's kind of funny. Doesn't work that way, boys. I've been around too long. Been through too many fights, too many wars to let a flea market champion and a Johnny come nobody, Mr. Lately Eric Bischoff, run me off. Michael, I'm going to go in the back, stretch out, work out a little bit, and then I'm going to kick their ass. That's the bottom line.
Mattel Electronics presents the 17 Bomb.
So it's the B.
B.
B. B. It's the
BK Bomber
versus Hulk Hogan with Eric Bischoff as the special guest referee. Throwback to today with a different background, very nice, with Billy Kidman and Eric Bischoff with respective valets Tori Wilson and Kimberly Page. Bischoff's the heel special guest referee, and he's going to call it right down the middle of Hulk's yellow back.
Kidman, the bomber was fucking bombing out there.
He mentioned he beat Hulk Hogan.
He did beat Hulk Hogan.
He did in a handicap match after an impromptu brawl where Bischoff counted the pin. Wait, that doesn't count.
Hogan probably still bangs on about this today, much like Nash is like, I put over Rey Mysterio once. As like, and then you fucking annihilated them.
Kidman had left the Filthy Animals to join the New Red, being Russo's boy who refused to be held back by wrestlers past their prime, i.e. Hogan. Hogan, like Hulk Hogan, it's not a swerve, it's actually Hulk Hogan, comes out with a similarly clad Horace Hogan. Hogan looks like such a smaller star in his plain black denim affair. And on the back, it says FUNB. A.K.A. F.U. New Blood.
Just after Hogan's entrance, and Hogan turns around and looks at the Horace Hogan and tells him to fuck off backstage.
But he
Horace, everybody!
he fist bumps him, it's alright. Kidman WCW's Hulk, I use this as a verb, to WCW. That's when Kidman goes out of the ring, Hulkster goes after him, Kidman runs around and goes back into the ring and attacks Hogan as he enters the ring. That's real old school WCW. Yes.
That's like wrestling.
Yes.
Old school wrestling.
Hogan smartly avoids getting DQ'd. If he hit Kidman with the chair, he'd be DQ'd. Well, he wouldn't really. So, like, he sets up a chair, throws Kidman up, and who lands on the chair? That's very smart. Like, you can Irish whip someone into a ring post, that's grand. But you couldn't lift them up, atomic drop, and kind of place them into the ring post. You get DQ'd. Happened to Ryback, like, summer this year.
Really?
Hmm. And did you have anything before the finish?
We seem to be getting to the finish quickly.
It was impossible to take the BK Bomber seriously in this match because he is so small, he's so skinny, his hair is fucking manky. I mean, wash your hair, mate. Sorry, I used to have long hair. I'm very particular about that. Greasy hair is gross. And it is. It's fucking
get
gross.
Off your fucking soapbox for a minute.
No, it's me.
Wash your hair.
Yeah, I just thought that this match was booked backwards. It was booked like Billy Kidman was the face and Hogan was the heel because he's picking him up and he's throwing him around the ring and stuff like that. But Hogan's meant to be the face, so it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. This is a big guy versus little guy fight with reversed booking as the little guy is the heel. Would this ever work? No. No, really. But the crowd did eat it up. They were well into the storyline and got a nice payoff. The match has a surprising amount of heat, and by that I mean Hogan has heat.
Mm.
Kidman, no heat. Hogan can still pop the crowd. They take turns whipping each other with Hogan's weightlifting belt and take breaks by brawling on the outside. Typical heel ref Bischoff pretends to not see Hogan's pinfall attempt and fans start chanting asshole at him. First chant of the night, 2 hours 18 minutes into the show. Kidman gets some offense until Hogan starts no-selling. Shavonte remarks, you know, he's doing the Hulk up. How many times have we seen that? Cheers, mate. But Bischoff gets into Hogan's way when he's going to do his big leg drop and gets clocked for his troubles to a big pop. Hogan delivers some chair shots and retrieves some tables. Where's fucking Horace Hogan? You retrieved those tables.
Yeah.
One of the flimsy tables breaks just by setting it up.
Okay. Awesome.
Kidman gets the Visionary 3, but Hulkster kicks out when the real one happens. It does get a huge pop, though. And power bombs Bischoff through a table, and then Kidman dives through another. Horace comes down to the ring and gets Bischoff's hand and counts 3, and the faces celebrate. Hulkster wins at 13:31. Man, I was very surprised how over Hulk Hogan still was, and he's the most over performer of the night.
It's because he's amazing at getting the fans to care about him. You know, he's just so good at it.
I didn't think he was in fan favourite mood tonight. I didn't notice him really playing to the crowd.
Yeah, he didn't work it.
Yeah, it's just the fans love him, and you can't really blame them. Like, how are you meant to cheer for Billy Kidman? Like,
he's well out of his league wrestling.
He's not a star. He's not, and WCW hadn't done their part to get him up to the level where he can take on a Hogan and the fans actually care about it, you know?
But it was all a ruse, you see. He was only meant to get Hogan to bring him up a bit so he can actually feud with Horace Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
They do, yeah.
Oh, man.
Kidman would continue losing to Hogan, ending up feuding with Horace as well as fellow ne'er-do-well the MIA as part of the reformed Filthy Animals. His gimmick, though, not half as good as his 1997 gimmick, being part of Raven's Flock, where he played a heroin addict, calling his Shooting Star Press the 7-Year Itch.
I love that gimmick, you know. I love that.
I just thought I'd bring it in just so you could say that. Oddly enough, Russo throws Liz back into the millionaire's bus with Luger in the driver's seat. What the hell was he doing there? He was like, all aboard. He's getting the hell out of Dodge from Kevin Nash.
How has Lex Luger still not found Liz? Because
Russo sent him packing. So it's time for the main event. Mean Gene, play us in. It's time for the main event. JEFFJARRET Jeff Jarrett, baby. Son of CWA and USWA wrestling promoter Jerry Jarrett, he broke into the business at 18. The third generation wrestler joined the WWF in 1993 as a country music singer. Ain't he great? With his trademark strut, light up sunglasses, and sometimes riding to the ring on a lovely horse.
Nice.
Due to a contract dispute, he left for WCW, debuting in October 96, where he was inducted into the Four Horsemen. Upon leaving the Horsemen, he feuded with Mongo McMichael and nabbed Mongo's ex-wife and valet, Deborah. Jumping back to the WWF, his initial gimmick was shooting on both WCW and WWF's core values, as was the style at the time. This included setting the toaster to 3, medium brown. He called Austin 316 blasphemous, a remark which killed his WWF career.
Stone Cold, as far as your blasphemous merchandise, that offends me. Austin 316 offends me, because what you're doing is ripping off the Bible to put money in your pocket.
He formed the NWA stable in the WWF, complete with world and tag titles with Jim Cornette, The Bedtime Express, and Barry Windham. It died a death, and he paired with the repackaged Godwins known as Southern Justice, and morphed into his Attitude Era gimmick, a more vicious heel whose moniker was...
Sorry, I completely zoned out there for about 20 seconds. Okay.
Don't piss me off, Steve.
Sorry, I was reading through.
I meant that.
Who treated his valet, Deborah, badly. Austin took his valet for his wife and his job prospects. Due to Austin's blackballing, his standing would never improve. So after feuding with your boy, D'Lo, and getting paid about $250,000 to give China the IC title, since his WWF contract had expired, the Chosen One joined Russo in WCW, where he got his first of 4 world titles. His backstage friendship blossomed onto his on-screen friendship, and here he is, the centerpiece of Russo and Bischoff's new blood. Splice Eddie Graham saying, he broke 1,000 guitars, never drew a dime.
I am the Chosen One.
He broke 6,000 guitars, never drew a dime, but he thought he was the man.
And it's true, but It still doesn't change the fact that he's fucking great.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's so good.
He's awesome.
The first time we, as a collective group, loved Jarrett was the...
When was he, saying there, he was sorry, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry that I didn't do it earlier. It
was brilliant.
Whopper gimmick, isn't it?
So good. Lovely guy as well. Met him in a McDonald's. There you go.
With JB as well, yeah.
What was he ordering?
JB was there, a McDonald's breakfast, and $10 asked me to pay for it. That's just my luck at wrestling. No, he didn't, by the way. He's a lovely guy.
So it's time for our main event. It's the Ready to Rumble triple cage match for David Arquette's WCW World Heavyweight Championship. It's Jeff Jarrett versus Diamond Dallas Page versus world champion David Arquette. I will not tire of saying that. Getting us up to speed at Spring Stampede, DDP's wife turned heel to allow Jarrett to win the WCW title, which DDP regained in a cage match on Nitro. On Thunder... Using his friend David Arquette as leverage, Jarrett brokered a world title tag match, which shockingly Arquette won and won the title. DDP, well cool with losing his title, isn't he? He was like, hey, that's great, isn't it? Jarrett kayfabe explained their beef as not being invited to be in Ready to Rumble, despite not being in the company when it was filmed.
Awesome.
The star of Ready to Rumble, Arquette, tried to relinquish the title, but instead was made defend the belt in a triple dance in the three cage match at Slamboree. Bischoff and Jarrett would try make Arquette's life hell by having him fight Tank Abbott, which he would beat. Bada bing, bada good night. Backstage, Jarrett hilariously calls Mean Gene a geriatric slap ass. Slap ass.
You're still just a geriatric slap ass. Slap ass.
And says...
What's that meant to be?
I think he just, like, uses the word slap. He calls people slappy and...
Anal.
Okay.
Bit of soddy bone.
Soddy bone.
Yes, and says they're playing Boots and Ladders tonight. Michael Buffer, earning his $200,000 per appearance fee, hypes the lowering of the cage and the combatants of the main event.
200 grand, but who's buying this pay-per-view for Michael Buffer? Like, I'm not buying the pay-per-view unless Michael Buffer is announcing the main event.
They could have just fucking spliced the film. 200 grand you'd save. So Michael Buffer gives us his famous line.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, and finally... That boxing phrase makes sense in a wrestling match. So this triple cage match is ostensibly a convoluted ladder match. The world title is hanging high in the air. But to get it, you'll have to climb through three cages of different sizes and scale the scaffolding. The bottom cage is a Hell in a Cell. Above that, a weapons cage. And above that, a guitar cage. And above that hangs the WCW Championship belt. That's a lot of
it's
stuff.
It's just so over the top.
Yeah, you know? Why not? Fuck it, like.
The Chosen One is wearing trunks and knee pads with silver and blue Jay's design.
Jay! What bar is Jeff Jarrett?
Awesome. Let's go to the fans and see. Jeff Jarrett is a zero bar.
Ooh, very good.
Yeah. Yes. A Klondike biscuit.
Ooh.
555.
A Christmas pack of Hershey's Kisses.
Ooh.
A can of Red Bull.
Oh, that's perfect. No, I did not have that.
And a packet of Crystal Mint sugar-free gum.
Beautiful.
And a special mention, he is also an employee at Mondo Burger.
Awesome.
From Keenan and Kel's Good Burger.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
Now, David Arquette. Oh, his outfit.
What can you even say about it? I mean...
You know, it's like someone who knew nothing about wrestling got wrestling gear.
Yeah.
And this is what stupid wrestlers wear. I'm surprised he didn't have like a lucha mask and go blah, 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 as well, you know? So, our final act of the night...
Jay! What bar is David Arquette?
David Arquette, dressed in pointy red affair with white flames, is...
I like this fashion show. Give me that going. This is great.
A bag of Maltesers.
Beautiful. I did have that. Brucey bonus points.
A packet of hot tamales.
Oh. They look fucking horrible, whatever they are.
A tin of bacon beans.
Oh. What the fuck are they?
Are they bacon-flavoured sweets?
Yes, jelly beans of bacon flavour.
Yeah.
Can one of the fans send us a packet of bacon beans?
Yes.
Three.
Not three beans, three packets, please. He is Young's Crab Sticks.
What the fuck are they?
He could have been just a crab.
And lastly, David Arquette is a Negro.
That is an awesome picture.
Holy shit. That was a good game. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Wunderbar. So going into this, Arquette is the current champion. Jeff Jarrett's a one-time champion and DDP is a three-time champion. Arquette hoofs it away with Jeff Jarrett in tow. Arquette adheres to DDP's game plan of staying away from the action until called. DDP atomic drops Jarrett into the steel post and, yeah, he takes the opportunity to blade. Jarrett's just there on his tummy and he's just like... fucking carny. It's like, why would you blade with an atomic drop into the ring post?
You have to ask Flair those types of questions. This man, like, blades after, like, chop. He's a chop. He's a bleh.
By the way, you know what's not over? Heel Madden repeatedly doing DD me. Oh, DD me. He's so selfish. DD me. It sucks as an insult as well. It's not over as well. It's just like Crocodile Dundalk.
He is well over. Let you know. Star.
DDP makes the first attempt to go through the cage's ceiling's trap door. They should have spray painted it red or something so everyone can see it. The two just brawl using the cage and ladders until DDP makes it into Hardcore Hell, which is the second cage, which has different weapons on the wall. There's both a static security camera and later a cameraman up there, and it's pretty cool looking. It's good visual. Paige uses the bolt cutters and cuts the chain locking the door to the outside. He escapes but is brought back to do more spots inside Hardcore Hell. The two use the plunder in the cage before both run through and mow down the chain link wall facing the hard camera. It's a cool spot.
Mm-hmm.
And get a wall.
After being off camera for a while, Arquette joins DDP on the top of the first cage, so it's like outside the second cage, and climbs to the very top beside the world title as insurance. Mike, awesome! Wow, like not being on the ground floor, that didn't stop a run-in in WCW.
Did he just like run out and jump and go... and he's up there.
Because he didn't go through the cage. Trapdoor. Arquette went through the trapdoor.
Yeah.
And it was in view and he just came at him. It's like he's invisible because he's not on camera. Just enters stage left.
So DDP rammed Jarrett into the cage and it fell down, right? And then they both bump and they're selling like death, right? Then Jarrett gets up first, right? And I'm sitting there going, watching, oh, for fuck's sake, Jeff, you're a fucking veteran. You shouldn't be getting up first, right? So then DDP jumps up when he sees this, hits him with a clothesline. And then they both go down, right? Jarrett goes to get up first. And you see DDP grab his arm, lean in, and then say something really quiet. And then Jarrett just flops back down. And then DDP gets up first. Which, while it looked kind of minor league, he's fucking right. He's just done two big moves on you. Don't be getting up first. You should know better, Jeff. Like,
Mike Awesome starts beating on Diamond Dallas Page. The cunt takes a dirty Samoa Joe bump, taking a diamond cutter on his back, making it a shit neckbreaker.
Yeah.
Right off. Fuck right off.
The commentators were saying that Jarrett was the favourite for the match because there was the guitar room. the master of the guitar. It's not that difficult to hit somebody over the head with the guitar. It's not like a set of nunchucks or something.
Yeah, where it takes skill to master and use.
You do like Karate Kid montage with the guitar. You know?
Jarrett teases taking a dangerous bump, but the two make it into the tiny guitar room, smashing the cheapest looking hollow guitars. Good thing that they don't fill them with soot, or else you wouldn't be able to see. DDP hands Arquette a guitar to fend off Jarrett, but in a swerve, Arquette nails DDP with the guitar, as does Jarrett, and the heels celebrate as Jeff Jarrett takes down the WCW title and celebrates his second championship reign at 15:29. Oh, listen to the fun commentary putting it over, Splicey Splice.
David Arquette with the acoustic equalizer just took out Diamond Dallas Page. Good God, it was a setup all along. It's the ultimate swerve.
Mark Madden goes over. He's like, oh, he's the greatest actor of all time. Who would have seen it?
That's great.
Still on top of the cage, Awesome attacks a prone DDP, and his buddy, Chris Kanyon, comes to his aid. For his trouble, Kanyon gets hoofed off the cage ceiling and takes a big bump onto the walkway. The crowd reacts strongly to it and start chanting, holy shit.
And Russo are satisfied now.
Oh, are we gonna? They're gonna celebrate in the midst of this? My God, what's going on here tonight?
It was a very cool bump. I was like, the only worry about this is making sure you fucking hit the crash mats because it's a narrow enough walkway.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
He's doing a flip like it's a somersault onto crash mats.
Mm.
You know, 20 feet below. It's not easy.
I have a question for you, actually. Did you make any allusions to Owen Hart with Canyon's bump?
Not necessarily, but I was already thinking, this is the Kemper Arena. I knew Kanyon was going to take the bump, so I'd already been thinking about it.
Honestly, for me, no. I saw Taker throwing Mick Foley off the Hell in a Cell. I think it's the exact same bump.
Well, it's in the Kemper Arena, which is where Owen Hart fell, and it's Owen Hart's birthday as well.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's pretty...
But, like, I think they're both coincidences. Like, I think Kanyon, whenever they're doing the Ready to Rumble cage match, he's taking that bump. So it just happened to be on this date and in this arena. You know? Yeah.
The one thing Arquette did, actually, that impressed me, he did one wrestling move, and that was a splash off top.
Splash.
Fucking better than most wrestlers.
Yep.
No fear whatsoever. Landed fucking square on the mat, because he knew he was going to miss
it. He didn't take the bump on his feet or
the boss
anything.
Boot bump. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kamala as well. Yeah.
I'm sure he's fucking hated it. I thought it was a bit of fun.
It was entertaining.
Yeah. I quite enjoyed it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I love seeing these ridiculously expensive multi-tiered gimmick matches WCW come up with. Just throwing money down the drain.
It was the initial, the initial premise of two faces versus one heel doesn't work, shouldn't work.
Even if during the build-up, WCW had gone out of their way to kind of say, even though there's two of them and only one, you know, only one Jarrett, it'd be great if there was more, but, you know, it's more work for DDP because he has to take care of him and he doesn't know what he's doing and he could get hurt and he's his mate and all that stuff. But no, they just didn't bother, like.
And that closes the pay-per-view and we're out.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction.
So, how did this pay-per-view do? Not good. 7,165 in attendance, paying an average of $19.43 per ticket.
I didn't think things had gotten that bad by this point. I really... £20 a ticket?
Like, that arena is what? 16,000? You couldn't give away tickets for people to come.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Do you want to guess how many people bought this show?
90,000.
89,000.
You're disqualified for being a cunt. 55,000.
Oh, holy shit. That's like half of what December to Dismember did.
Fuck off.
That did like 96,000 or something, and that's WWE's lowest ever.
Shit.
Yeah. 55,000 fans bought the show, which was almost half of what Spring Stampede last month did.
Okay, so there was a direct reaction by fans saying, we're not buying this.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
In your main event is an actor.
Yeah.
Slamboree 2000 was the second lowest bought pay-per-view since WCW in the 80s when Vince screwed them over. It was only bested in the lowest by Hogan and Flair's 50,000 in March. To just to put that in perspective, a year prior in 99, Hogan and Flair drew 450,000 at Super Brawl.
Wow.
So the collapse of WCW happened quickly and devastating, you know.
Okay, holy shit.
That's just beyond belief.
Sadly for WCW, it wouldn't be their lowest pay-per-view that was still to come. Their version of WrestleMania, Starrcade, did 45,000 buys. WCW were obviously embarrassed by this publicity stunt, as I actually show you the VHS cover. Arquette's not on it. It just has DDP and Jarrett.
Wow.
Steve, what did you think of the pay-per-view overall?
For the good stuff, I enjoyed Scott Steiner. I generally enjoy him no matter what he's doing. He just entertains me, whether what he does is good or bad. I thought that the best match on the card was Canyon and Awesome. In terms of moves, I loved how Sting was booked. I thought he came across like a megastar, and he was the only person in the entire show. And I kind of enjoyed the main event, despite it not making sense and some of it. I just thought it was cool. Now, on to the money of this show, which is the bad. Chris Candido versus The Artist. That was awful. My next line is The Artist. Everything, the gimmick, the look, his wrestling ability, his botches, which there were many. Tammy Sitch, just, she makes me sad. Terry Funk versus Norman Smiley was horrific. Hugh Morris and his pre-match promo and his name change to Hugh G. Rection. Shane Douglas versus Flair. It was a bad match. It did nothing for me. Shane Douglas's pre-match promo that Flair shat on and destroyed. Let's put that in the good. And despite having the main event in the good segment, in the bad segment, I have main event match plus booking. So the actual match was terrible, but I just loved seeing the thing. So yeah, overall, I thought this was technically awful. The wrestling wasn't good. Every match was booked the same. The production values were awful. But despite all of that, I found it very easy to watch. And I watched it in one sitting, which shocked me.
Listen, I mean, there was nothing truly horrendous on it. There was nothing good on it. I had a bit of fun with a few of the matches. The Smiley and
Luger being bald, Russo.
Yes, the Russo Center packing was probably the low light for me. You know, I enjoyed parts of Douglas against Flair. Nice to see Luger. Nice to see Bagwell. The main event was, you know, had its moments. But, you know, still happy to see WCW wrestlers, but would not particularly want to see much more of these guys in these feuds doing the same things.
This is weird. I think this is the first time where I'm more negative than you guys, because usually I enjoy these things more, you know. I found it an extremely difficult watch with so many monotonous, time-wasting, no DQ brawls, numerous fucking run-ins leading to indecisive conclusions. Here's a list of the interference tonight. Candido and Artist, Tammy and Paisley, Funk versus Norman, Ralphus. Stasiak and Hennig, clean bout, thank you.
Mm.
Steiner and Rection, so Medeja, Shakira, Russo and Bischoff Security, the MIA. Canyon and Awesome had Kevin Nash, the entire New Blood, the entire Millionaires Club, and the entire Russo and Bischoff Security. Luger and Bagwell, Liz, and then Palumbo afterwards. Franchise and Flair, Buff, David Flair, Russo, Kevin Nash, Daphne. Vampiro and Sting, clean. Decisive finish.
Yeah.
Loved it. Kidman and Hogan, let Bischoff away with it. He was the special guest referee, and Horse comes out at the end. And the Triple Cage had Awesome and then Canyon. So 8 out of 10 matches featured run-ins. It got tiresome so quickly, I had to stop 6 times.
Oh, wow.
Horrible. Before Hogan and Sting got on the show, I thought it was a bust. Like, they're the only two that the crowd cared for and treated like big-time stars. That's the opposite of Russo and Bischoff's intention with this whole angle with the New Blood. It was a nice idea to get new stars over, but it didn't work. And, like, with company-wide feuds, everyone is doing New Blood versus Millionaires Club. It gets tiresome because it's the same story in every match on the card. Mm. The novelty wears off quickly. It didn't work at all, firstly, because none of the heels are actually getting over. And a month later, Bash at the Beach is the infamous Jarrett lays down for Hogan and pins him and says, this is why the company's in the bullshit state it's in. Russo cuts his shoot promo where he's like, this bald bastard Hulk Hogan. The whole thing's fucked because Hogan and Bischoff left the company after that in July, you know. So overall, I'd say thumbs down. And I'm so glad we didn't commit to like a year's worth of WCW. It's like, dip a toe and get out.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to do like a year or so of WCW, 99 onwards is not the time, you know?
Well, here we are again. It's always such a pleasure. Remember when you tried to kill me twice?
Anyway, the next night on Nitro, Bischoff explains the storyline, saying that he was the director of this whole swerve, which included DDP beating Jarrett for the belt. Why? Just to screw him royally, of course, and he did it. Oh, we have to listen to Arquette's hilarious party jug promo post-heel turn, because he's like, "Shut
up!" I've watched this promo. Money.
What's in it for Eric Bischoff? What a man!
What a master! And Tank Abbott was in on the thing. How about that?
Yeah.
Is he all right?
Sorry, Paige. I really am sorry, Canyon. Oh, damn! Sorry. But you should know better than to trust someone from Hollywood! What's up? You know, when I was on the set of Ready to Rumble with Paige, I told him that I had a dream to be a wrestler. And he said, "Shit!" He said, "You get hurt, but guess what? You got hurt, Paige."
I don't think he's had his medication.
I got one thing to say to you. I was the heavyweight champion of the world thanks to my buddy, Eric Bischoff, the king, EJE, baby.
What an actor.
So put that in your cornpipe and smoke it.
What an actor, almost Gable-like in his delivery, and a wonderful wife, too.
What does he say again, Jay?
Shut up! Shut up!
Is he all right?
It's so amazing. You can't believe he's saying these
the
things.
The fans are hating on it. And not because it's heat. It's because it's horrible.
DDP gives him a diamond cutter for his troubles and see you later, mate. But Arquette would appear one last time on WCW, doing a run-in during Buff Bagwell versus Canyon at New Blood Rising in August. So, very, very nice. Stuck around. David Arquette, he is a huge wrestling fan and knew that fans would absolutely detest him winning the WCW title. He was put in an invidious position, as the movie was flopping and him winning the belt was the best WCW could come up with to give them some degree of publicity. Arquette relented and gave WCW whatever star power he had, getting Courtney Cox and Kurt Russell to say WCW and film a segment, wrestling on TV and pay-per-view, and in the end washed his hands of it by donating all of his pay to the families of Owen Hart, Draws and Brian Pillman.
Great, what a great guy.
That's absolutely amazing. That's very, very nice.
Yeah.
So I was just going to do a quick, where are they now?
Oh.
David Arquette. He's kept a link to wrestling, appearing several times in WWE. So on February 8th, 2002 SmackDown, he was in the crowd with a sign saying, former WCW World Champ. He sung a duet with Chris Jericho on Lopez Tonight. Awesome macho man garb dressed up.
Awesome.
And presented a Slammy in December 2010. Playing up his title run as a great comedy heel, and ended up wrestling in a tag match that night and getting put through a table by Randy Orton. He's actually part of WWE's Be a Star campaign as well. So, you know, what a lovely guy.
He's a nice guy, yeah. Great guy.
I was just going to say, like, he himself, he didn't kill WCW's credibility. Like, it was always played off as a fluke win and a guy that was never going to be around. It's just a publicity stunt. And, like, as we went through the title changes and the buy rates, like, WCW was already gone. But it's just, like, a shining beacon of all the terrible things that WCW did in those final 2 years.
Oh, that's amazing.
DDP, so he was a three-time WCW champion, who took a contract payout to work for the WWF, but got treated worse than those who wouldn't, like Hall, Nash, Hogan, Goldberg.
I find that very strange. That
pisses me off so much.
Yeah.
He currently promotes his brand of yoga, which includes really turning Jake Roberts and Scott Hall's life around. What happened to Jeff Jarrett?
Well, now, here's the WWF, and here's WCW. Well, there's Jeff Jarrett. Now, as far as the Jeff Jarretts of the world are concerned, you know how Jeff spells his name? That's J-E-F-F. Well, you know what? I would suspect that we'd spell it a different way after tonight. That would be capital G, double O, double N, double E. Gone.
When Vince McMahon bought WCW in 2001, he specifically name-dropped Jarrett as one of the contracts he would not pick up. Presumably still furious over the China incident where he extorted money out of him.
Vince's fault.
Yep. Silly goose. As Jarrett would form the WWA, a precursor to the now TNA with his father, Jerry Jarrett. So after his Triple H-level reign of terror of holding the TNA world title a combined 1,006 out of a 1,460-day block, he started moving away from the main event and on screen. We got an absolutely fantastic double MA gimmick. Remember where he went to, like, a kid's judo session and started
tapping out kids?
Yes. Oh, so amazing.
Why are you crying, bro? So good.
And then he'd... Dixie Carter would say, all right, if you want a job, you have to work the most menial job. So he's like, yeah, I'll do it. And I'll do it great. So he's like flipping burgers in the back and he's like
giving it socks
and cleaning toilets and stuff like that. It's so awesome.
Amazing.
Yes. His business deals included TNA's Indian promotion, Rinka King, which featured a mix of TNA and Indian talents, as well as a working relationship with AAA in Mexico. So with owner Dixie Carter, WWE's main competition is still going today.
And he also stole and robbed Kurt Angle's awesome wife.
My name is Vince Russo, and I am the Antichrist of professional wrestling!
And what about Vince Russo? He used his on-screen injuries as an excuse to sit at home to avoid embarrassment as the company went under. His contract was eventually bought out during the Time Warner merger.
Thank the gods above, WCW got sold and I was out of that hellhole. I was done with professional wrestling. But I get a call from my old buddy Jeff Jarrett. Jeff tells me, I'm starting this NWA thing, Vince, and I want to make it cutting edge, and I need you.
So what do you think about Vince Russo?
He's not good at what he does, and he used one little thing that happened in WWF and managed to spin it until people believed them. And he lived off that one thing for 15, 20 years.
What was the one thing?
Like, he said that...
Goldust in 95.
No.
The golden year.
Like. No, the Rock. And he says that he was the guy who wrote all of the Rock stuff. Even though he wasn't, it was Gerowitz. And he just spun that and used that to make his entire career out of. And spent the rest of the time sullying what he actually did do.
Yeah, like, I think Russo's a tremendous on-screen character, but he's a horrific booker. Like, he's got no concept of pacing. Like, a week in Russo land is a month everywhere else. All of his ideas for popping ratings, it's just a title change, swerve, or a shoot promo. Like, you know, he does have some good ideas, but they're just crushed under the weight of his terrible ideas. TNA hired him cumulatively for like 6 years, 9 months, and you know, and he couldn't get the job done, so he's proved he can't book his way out of a wet paper bag.
I've read both of Vince Russo's books. Half the book is him talking about God.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But and the other half is him giving out.
How does he hold his arms? Are they in here or his arms are open? Record deal. And how are these books anyway?
Yeah, he's not a nice guy at all.
Really?
I was thinking, you know, he's found God, born again Christian. He kind of says, I don't want to give out about people, and then proceeds to give out
about people. Yeah. Awesome. It was a swerve.
Yeah. I would like to read Russo's book. Although I reckon I'd be furious.
Swerve, it's a cookbook.
Cooking with Vince Russo.
Cool, so before we reveal what our new storyline is, let's take it to the wrestling is... segment.
Awesome!
So, Mr. Satan.
Actually, that's Shatan.
Well, how many bags do you have to check, sir?
Just one.
Oh, for this week, folks. Episode 34 is in the books. Good stuff, man.
Yep.
We close the book on David Arquette, but what does the future hold for OSW? Coming up in the new year will be...
ECW wasn't about garbage wrestling and just bloodshed and violence. ECW was a lifestyle. It was anti-establishment. It was counterculture. And it was up in your face. And I invite you to experience what ECW is about live in person Sunday night, June 12th at ECW One Night Stand.
The time has come to seal their fate. It will be a December to dismember.
Our new storyline will be a four-part saga covering WWE's revival of ECW. Episode 35, we review an original ECW show. It's your choice. Episode 36.
No choice.
It's One Night Stand 2005. Episode 37, One Night Stand 2006. And episode 38, the infamous December to Dismember. So hit that
Describe them.
So hit that
subside button.
So hit that subscribe button. All of our episodes will be on this channel. And leave us a nice message on our Facebook page, you sooty bums. OSWreview.com. You can listen to our shows live streaming on morelikeradio.com every Tuesday and join us in the chat room. So get to our Facebook group and vote on what original ECW show you want to see. Majority wins it. So it's a goodbye from OOC. V1.
Peek-a-boo.
And myself, Jay Hunter. And remember... Yeah! A winner is you. can we get a group?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And remember, a winner is you.